My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect Brahmins, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj concludes that one can become perfect by serving the Supreme Lord sincerely by all means. Material elevation to life as a Brahmin, demigod, rishi, and so on are not causes for developing love of Godhead. But if one sincerely engages in the service of the Lord, his Krishna consciousness is complete. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:30. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabhak sadareva samantavya samyag vyafasitohisa. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. To develop unalloyed love for Krishna is the perfection of life. Other processes may be helpful, but if one does not develop his love for Krishna, these other processes are simply a waste of time. Dhammasvanusthitapumsam vishvakshenikatasuya natpadayad yadi ratim shama evi kevalam. Duties, dharma, executed by men, regardless of occupation, sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Om agyana timrandasya agyananyanan shalakaya chakshuram aditam yanitasmaya Shri Guruve Namah. So, Prahlad Maharaj has instructed his friends here, and he's giving great advice to everybody. So, he says that without becoming a devotee of the Lord, you cannot please the Lord, and therefore you cannot be happy. So, of course, the Brahmins are glorified in many places in the Vedas, even by Krishna himself in his different forms. There's a verse in the in the instructions of Prithu. He's saying that he begs the blessings of the Brahmins because the Brahmins' only wealth is their good behavior, and that if one gets the blessings of the Brahmins, then he gets all the wealth of the world. By carrying the dust of the feet of the Brahmins, one actually becomes very fortunate. And then Rishabhdev Maharaj, he glorified the Brahmins so much in the fifth canto and many other places too. So the Brahmins are the representatives of the Lord. But unless they're devotees, then they may have all the 12 brahminical qualifications, which is another verse by Prahlad Maharaj, where he says that a Brahmin has 12 qualifications, but without being a devotee of the Lord, then they're not very beneficial. So being a Brahmin is not necessarily a sign that one is dear to Krishna. But one could be a Sudra and one could be dear to Krishna. There's so many examples. We have the example in Chaitanya Leela of Kolavet Sridhar. Kolavet Sridhar, he was a simple person. He wasn't a Brahmin, but he would make money selling banana cups and leaves and things. But he was very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. There's so many examples. So all these qualifications. And then it's not necessarily by being a great saint, although generally a saint is considered to be a great personality, but saints are not necessarily great devotees of the Lord. Now, I believe they're going to canonize Pope Paul. Pope Paul, the last pope, they're going to make him into a saint, from what I heard. So he'll be Saint Paul. So he's a saint, but we've probably heard that he liked to eat veal, baby cows. So he wasn't really much of a saint. And then, of course, Mother Teresa, I've heard that she's going to be canonized too. So she was, we could say she was a saintly person, but she wasn't really a devotee of Krishna. I don't know what she ate. Maybe she was a vegetarian. I don't really know. She wasn't a vegetarian. She used to feed people meat. Well, there we are. So, you know, one may be a saint by ordinary estimation, but without becoming a devotee of the Lord, there's no benefit. So, we have this opportunity to become devotees, and nobody should think they're a devotee because we're trying to be devotees. Because to become actually devoted is a very advanced platform, and we are simply beginners on the path. We're trying to become devotees. And if we can become devotees, then Krishna will be very happy, because Krishna is very merciful to devotees. There's a verse in the Nectar of Devotion which explains how Krishna is known as Purushottama, the greatest of all persons. And he is very kindly disposed to his devotees. And he doesn't take an offense very, very seriously. But even if an envious person blasphemes the Lord, he is not inclined to get angry. He doesn't care. But if somebody renders a little bit of service to him, of course, in the material world, we see this exemplified in the attachment for mundane love affairs. Mundane. Everybody, even reading about love affairs, there's so many bestsellers written by old ladies who are talking about love affairs and, you know. So, we're supposed to first look at the feet of the Lord. Prabhupada says that if you don't do like that, you're an impersonalist, because the different features of the body of the Lord, they're all so auspicious that one should appreciate them individually. And so one approaches the feet of a great personality out of humility. So we have to try to pray for the ability to always remember this, but we know that the enjoyment is so temporary and that it will bring them so much lamentation. So to be a devotee is such a wonderful opportunity to finally finish up our life in the material world, that if we practice Krishna consciousness properly, then we will not have to take birth again. So this is, and Krishna is so kind, because if one is a devotee, he says, even if a devotee commits the most abominable activities, he should still be considered saintly. Because Krishna, he wants us to go back to Godhead. He doesn't want us to remain in the material world. Krishna doesn't want anyone to remain in this material world. He wants everybody to go back to Godhead, because Krishna has created everybody to love him, and for them to be stuck in the material world, that's very sad. Of course, Krishna does not suffer. Krishna never suffers. Krishna is always happy. But the devotees, they feel sorry to see the sufferings of the living entities that are in the material world. And that's why so many great devotees, they perform austerities to relieve the suffering of the living beings, just like Srila Prabhupada. So he didn't have to please in Krishna, Vijaya Bhakti Yoga, sannyasis and GBC, so many people, and they have given up Krishna consciousness. Whereas we've seen so many people who simply were washing the plates of the Lord, but they're still devotees after 40 years. So it's not what you do so much, but because Srila Prabhupada gave us that order to distribute books, it's the austerities you perform. It's actually the difficulties that you go through, the suffering you go through, you could say. Because this was a prayer in the 8th canto that the demigods were glorifying Lord Shiva because he drank the ocean, he drank the poison from the ocean of milk. Was it the ocean of milk or some of it? Anyway, so he drank the poison, and so this very nice verse, Tapyante Lukatapena Sarva Prayasojana Paramaradanam Taddi Purushasya Kalatmana. So this verse means that invariably great saints undergo great suffering for the benefit of the general population. And such sacrifice, cleanliness or vows, so a lot of times austerity misunderstood that, you know, just eat peanuts and raisins in the freezing cold for 10 years and, you know, you've got to look after yourself. But we see a lot of devotees, they don't really look after themselves. They try to be too austere. So one time, Srila Prabhupada, he noticed the devotees were coughing, faith to believe in it, and the resolution and determination to stay with it through thick and thin, and especially to preach, Prabhupada says, to stand up, but still translating the books, the Brihat Madanga. And we're all getting so much benefit from Srila Prabhupada's austerity. So we should try to follow his example. We can't imitate him. None of us are Srila Prabhupada. That was one of the problems in the early days. We had some gurus who tried to imitate Prabhupada. Of course, they didn't really know how to be gurus, but they found out how not to be gurus. But, you know, by simply following in Prabhupada's footsteps, by doing following his instructions, we can actually perfect our lives. And at the end of this life, we can go back to Godhead. So does anyone have any questions or comments?